Good afternoon. Welcome to Agriculture Today here on the Red River Farm Network, reporting from the International Crop Expo in Grand Forks. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Don Wick. Megan Turnquist is back at the Red River Farm Network studios. The International Crop Expo co-show manager Lionel Olson says the event is offering lots of good programs for attendees, including keynote speaker Virginia Tech Professor Emeritus David Cole this afternoon.
The issues we put up in the past, or last year, what we saw, what the researchers are doing to kind of tackle this and kind of, for lack of better words, rubbing the crystal ball, and this is what we can look forward to for next year and how to prepare for it and how to help manage it, especially with the tight economic times, and how to help manage some of these situations to try and be profitable for the upcoming year.
Trade agreements are part of the discussion as Cole meets with farmers today. Cole says trade agreements are positive, but farmers don't need to bet a farm or ranch on trade agreements. Long-term implications of these agreements can change.
My whole bottom line is focus on some of the things you can control in your farm or ranch. And of course, up here, you would say, I can't control the weather, all that. But focus on the things you can control. Manage around the uncontrollables, and that's kind of my theme for this afternoon.
What are some of the things that people can control?
I think one of the things is the thing that we discussed here with the young farmers this morning is business IQ. In other words, knowing the fundamentals of business, cost of production, know your marketing and risk management plan, being able to execute that plan, knowing your numbers, I think are going to be very, very critical. Is it going to guarantee success every year? No. But it'll probably guarantee success maybe 75% of the time. And if you're 75% of the time successful, you're in for the long haul.
So maybe some things farmers have heard before but maybe not have always implemented.
Oh, I know. And one of the things is I speak around the country and a lot of people say, well, I've heard him speak before. You know, sometimes it's good to come back and hear some of the same things, take things from the back of the mind, put them up on the front burner. And that's the whole thing about the international expo that we're having here today. Whether it's the business or economics or exhibitors, et cetera, sometimes what you're in here for is to, you know, kind of refresh the mind, get the emotional and intellectual recharge, which I think is really critical here, but also network with some other positive people.
You talked about not, relying on, trade agreements to, make farm decisions. Do you think farmers have been doing that in the past few years since we've been going through this trade dispute, for example, with China?
Yeah. I think in one sense that they have, and you know what it's done? It's created paralysis because we're kind of waiting around to see if USMCA has been passed or whether the deal with China. And I think it's created some paralysis. And what you have to do is kind of move forward, know what your goals are for your business and move forward, realizing that all of this uncertainty in trade agreements creates market volatility. Market volatility, if you know your fundamentals, is your friend. And because throughout the year, there's usually going to be a period of time where you'll hit above break even. And when you do, execute a trade or something like that to be able to capitalize that profit.
So it's really about finding and maybe growing to a demand in some ways, but not necessarily solely relying on demand from one place to grow.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that you're going to see in the future is the whole aspect of diversification, whether it be markets or, in the farm. But that doesn't necessarily hold true for all producers because some farms can be very successful specialized. Some others can be successful in diversification. But that goes back to your resources and your management and aligning up with the markets.
Cole will address the International Crop Expo attendees at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Red River Farm Network's Randy Cunnan has more from the expo.
I am visiting with Dr. Dave Franz and Dave, one of the presenters here at the International Crops Expo. Dave, fielding a lot of questions because of the tough fall we had last year in wet soils?
Yeah, I really have. One of the questions on a lot of conventional tool growers' minds is, well, for one thing, they're not used to the residue, and for the other thing, there was a lot of rutting last year, and so what in the world to do with that? And so, yeah, let's field a lot of questions of that.
What kind of options do we have?
So the important thing is to try to do as little tillage as possible, If a person, even if they have deeper ruts, it's better to go across multiple times with something shallow than it is to go something deep. The muck that you're going to turn up if you try to go deep is just going to overwhelm any kind of help that you're going to have by filling in the rut. So try to use something that's going to go over things just lightly. There are a lot of situations where, say, in soybean stubble, that the person could just plant through it. There's really no reason to really work things much at all. In the corn stalks, you can certainly seed between the rows. A lot of farmers, though, are really not set up to do that. If they have chopping heads and there's going to be a lot of combining probably in March and maybe into April when things dry up and the snow goes away. So if there's a mat of residue there, then planting through it is probably not in the question. There may be a fire or two that starts to get rid of some of that, and I understand that. A person wouldn't want to do that every year, but if it's that or planting, I guess I'd rather light a match.
Residue management then gets to be probably the biggest issue, huh?
There is. A person has to, the ability to seed into residue is a conscious decision, and it really starts with the combine. Combine is the start of anything. So a lot of people that are in a no-till or strip till, something like that, they don't have chopping heads, so they leave as much of the stalk standing as possible, and then they can just plant right through it. Some of them can plant right next to the corn row. That way they don't have to run over the stalks or tractor tires. And it's a whole system that a person has to think about. But people that have never been in it before and haven't faced this before, of course, it's just an anxious time. So as little as possible.
Dr. Dave Franson, I'm here at the International Crop Expo at the Alaris Center. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Randy Conan.
You are listening to the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. The National Farmers Union is recommending improvements to the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. NFU President Roger Johnson says steps should be taken to include climate resilience and soil health on the list of EQIP properties. NFU also wants the NRCS to give individual states the ability to establish their own high priority practices for increased payment rates. The International Crop Expo once again going on at the Alaris Center here in Grand Forks, and programming specific for dry bean, soybean, small grain, and potato farmers. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has details on a new fungicide product in this report.
BASF launched a new fungicide for potato growers this morning here at the International Crop Expo. BASF Technical Service Representative Ken Dibert has more details about Provosol.
Interesting thing, or the unique thing about this new product or this new fungicide, is it's a mode of action or a site of action, if you will, in potatoes that is not widely used. The DMI or the group threes, some may know, many people may recognize them as the triazole group, and it's going to complement other products that of different chemistries within the potato fungicide portfolio, if you will, for early blight control, and we're very excited about it. This is a chance for us to experience the next level, if you will, of early blight control, and couldn't be more excited about it.
BASF also introduced two other new products for potato growers today, Zidua herbicide and Safena insecticide. From the International Crop Expo in Grand Forks, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
USDA is set to release their monthly cattle on feed report Friday. Pre-report estimates compiled by the Wall Street Journal put cattle on feed in yards of 1,000 or more head at 2.3% higher as of February 1st. Placements are estimated to be 1.5% higher and marketing's just 1% higher. The report will be released at 2 in the afternoon Central Time on Friday. Bolt Marketing market analyst Dwayne Bussey says this month's cattle on feed report is shaping up to be bearish.
The estimate's higher than last year for the cattle on feed report, so it should be a little bit bearish, but I wouldn't let that bother you too much. I think that's going to be well known. I guess we'll watch and see at 2 o'clock on Friday if there's a surprise in that report.
Bussey goes on to say, ultimately, the market is looking for signs that product is moving.
You know, I'm hoping marketing's a little bit higher than expected, because I think it was only 101 is where they have marketing estimated at. If we can get that to be 103, 102 even, that'd be a good sign that we're just moving the product. And ultimately, that's what we need. We have a lot of product, a lot of beef, a whole lot of pork. We just need to move it and see demand keep increasing.
USDA's annual Outlook Forum begins tomorrow. Van On and Company market analyst Christy Van On is concerned more negative market news may come from the event,
especially for the corn market. So USDA released baseline numbers. So baseline numbers are kind of the step before Outlook Forum, right? So baseline numbers are kind of the same theory. It's more about a budgeting purposes. And then you get the Outlook Forum with some higher-ups that kind of put some thought into those numbers, where baseline is more a computerized number. But they really don't typically stray too much from one another, that you don't see big ones. And the forecast is right now that you are looking at a substantial large corn crop next year if everything can get planted. And that's the big thing, if everything can get planted.
Nationwide, farmers filed prevented plant claims on 19.1 million acres for indemnities of $4.3 billion. Risk Management Agency Administrator Martin Barbary spoke to the Crop Insurance Industry Convention, saying South Dakota had the largest number of prevent plant acres at 3.9 million. Illinois came in second at 1.4 million acres. Just a reminder, visit rrfn.com to find more stories, podcasts, weather, markets, and more. That's rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. It's Grain Bin Safety Week, providing education and raising awareness when handling and working around grain. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who grew up on a farm in Hamlin County, has a personal connection to farm safety. Noem's life changed forever when her dad passed away in a grain bin accident at just 49 years old.
And he was a cowboy and worked very hard, but at that time, it was March 10th, and the corn in the grain bin was getting out of condition because of fluctuating temperatures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he did something that he told us kids to never do. He climbed up into the grain bin to break up some chunks of the crust, and that was the last time anybody in our family saw him.
According to USDA, there were 30 documented grain entrapment cases in 2018, with half of those entrapments resulting in fatality. Noem says with the number of accidents increasing, efforts to educate farmers must intensify.
We look at those stickers on those grain bins. Sure. We look at the warnings. And, you know, when you get tired and it's harvest time or you want to get a job done, we look right past them. And it can literally make the difference between life and death. My hope is that some farmer will remember it more when he's out there working and tired and it's a late night, and he'll stop and think, for the sake of my kids, because it's still the worst day of our lives. Sure. And everything dramatically changed that day.
In the markets, before we leave you during this noon hour, March soybeans up 4.5 at 8.96¾, November down 0.75, March corn down 2.5 at 3.80½, the December contract down 2¾ cents. Minneapolis March wheat down 5 at 5.35, and the Chicago contract down 4 cents. In livestock markets, February live cattle down 27 cents, the April contract down 5 cents, March feeder cattle up $1.52 at $140.82, April lean hogs up $1.32 at $66.85, and the May contract for hogs up $1.20 at $74.75. This is Red River Farm Network.